Your Bible, please. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. And we have our high-tech helps this morning, our PowerPoint presentation. Just to remind you, Matthew chapter 23 begins with some warnings, the first 12 verses of the chapter. And those warnings we looked at last week, they can be capsulized, really. Verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. The warnings were about the scribes and the Pharisees. And Jesus is saying, do what they say, for they were placed in the position of authority by God. And as they proclaim the word of God, hear the word. Hear what they say, but don't do what they do. For they, the scribes, the Pharisees, performed rather than praising God in their lives, in their times of worship. It was all ceremonial. It was all outward. It was all a show. Do as they say, but not as they do. And then when we arrive at verse 13, where we begin this morning, through to the end of this chapter, we have woes, warnings, and woes. Don't do as they do, but do as they say, because they're doomed in what they're doing. And the eight woes that for most of us in our English Bibles, although some translations omit verse 14, some of the early manuscripts don't have that verse, but that principle, that teaching we're going to look at this morning, where it is in most of your Bibles there. But the woes that we have beginning at verse 13, but woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 14, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. 15, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. So here we have the woes being pronounced on this performance, this show that the religious leaders were putting on. It had nothing to do with righteousness, the righteousness that God desires for those who will be part of the kingdom of righteousness. And so we will be looking at these woes. And I've made it, I think, a little easy for you. Verse 13, we're going to see that the Pharisees are being judged for their hypocrisy that shuts up the kingdom to those who would follow their teachings. In verse 14, verse that I mentioned in some of the early manuscripts, the reference to the widows is not there, but they swallow up the widows, as we're going to see, their houses, those that are vulnerable. Verse 15, they search out, they leave no stone unturned to find someone they can make a follower of themselves. And that's a devastating end. Then verses 16 through 22, the judgment is pronounced on them because they swear wrongly. They don't know what it is to actually make an oath that is that which honors God. To say, I will do in dependency upon. They just don't get it right, as we'll see. So they are swearing wrongly. Then, verses 23 and 24, judgment is being pronounced on those that are blind, and they're leading astray, and as they do that, they strain at gnats. But they find themselves swallowing camels, and so we'll see that this morning as well. And then, verses 25 through 26, this hypocrisy is that which they believe they can use as a cover for their sins. Their sins are secret, but we know, of course, that there are no secret sins because God sees all. They are, in fact, verses 27 and 28, sepulchers painted white, looking good again on the outside, but there's nothing but death and destruction within. What they are teaching, not what they're declaring, because as they open up the scriptures, as they read the scriptures of Moses in their worship, they're reading the Word of God, but it is then what they add to it and place as burdens on people to follow that is the issue. And so they are in fact whited sepulchers, or sepulchers painted white. And verses 29 through 36, the judgment that is pronounced on them is because they have, as their fathers before them, shed blood, the blood of the righteous. And all of this will culminate when they, as all those who have rejected Him, will cry out in mercy, but it will be too late when they see His coming. So I've set that forth for you there. Hope it will be of some help as we spend a few moments together in Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of the heavens against men, for neither go you in yourselves, neither permit you them that are kind to enter into it. Come on back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, where you'll remember that Jesus has made it very clear that He has come preaching repentance. There is need for a change. A change of character that will bring forth a change of conduct. Righteousness. The scribes and the Pharisees had a ceremonial righteousness. And so He says in verse 20, you remember, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no way enter the kingdom of the heavens. Come on over to the 16th chapter, Matthew chapter 16, and I'm reading verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, the spiritual leadership. And they, the disciples, reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, He said unto them, O you of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? 12. Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? 7. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This teaching was simply ceremonial self-righteousness. And that does not cut it. In fact, that brings the wrath of God. That brings judgment. And so it is from that very beginning until today that we need to be aware of the ceremonial, the practice of, and the preaching of a show of righteousness, a self-righteousness, not that which comes by the change that Jesus Christ brings when we place our faith in Him, when we become His child by faith. We then have, as you remember, imputed to us, given to us by His grace, His righteousness. And so God now sees us in Christ Jesus positionally right before Him. But also, those who have believed on Him have now had the most amazing experience that any human being could possibly have. The very living presence of God within. Christ in us. The expectation and hope of glory. But that is the empowerment to do righteousness. The positional righteousness that we have is provided by His substitutionary death, His taking our punishment, and we now being declared right before God because we are in Christ Jesus. A practical righteousness that He produces living His life through us as we yield and obey His Spirit. And His Spirit knows and directs us by the Word of God. And so it is that Jesus was saying, not the outward, not the bread. You know, I've provided bread. You remember the occasions that I've provided. I did that in abundance. What I am warning you against is the insidiousness of this teaching that would produce self-righteousness, ceremonial righteousness. That brings nothing but devastation, doom, judgment. So come on back to Matthew chapter 23 as we look at these woes. I mentioned to you that verse 14 in some manuscripts was not found, but this warning, this woe, this pronouncement on those that would pray, P-R-A-Y, and pray, P-R-E-Y, we find in verse 14. Woe unto the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for they devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore they shall receive the greater judgment. Praying predators. Praying on those most vulnerable. Their prayer is to be seen of men. Remember, Jesus referred to that. Don't pray like the hypocrites who want to stand in the street corners or pray in such a way in the synagogues to be seen of men. Pray how? Privately. Pray unto your Father in secret. No hypocrisy. He knows. But they were praying as a pretense of being people of God when in fact they were predators. They were taking and using their spiritual leadership, their place of prominence as a religious ruler, to pray on those most vulnerable. Come on over to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. This particular truth, again, is very strongly set forth by the prophet Isaiah. Woe to those who enact evil statutes and to those who constantly record unjust decisions, so as to deprive the needy of justice and rob the poor of my people of their rights, so that widows may be their spoil, and that they may plunder the orphans. Now what will you do in the day of punishment and in the devastation which will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your wealth? That which you have profited by in preying upon those most vulnerable, what's going to happen to that sordid gain that you have made? It will be of no help in the final judgment. In Psalm 94, O Lord God of vengeance, shine forth, rise up, O Judge of the earth, render recompense to the proud. How long shall the wicked, O Lord, how long shall the wicked exalt? They pour forth words, they speak arrogantly. All who do wickedness vaunt themselves. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the orphans. They have said, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob pay heed. Woe unto you that prey upon the widows, the vulnerable, and then with prayer have this pretense of doing God's work. Now you've heard me say this before, and I again say it with all of the love that I can, and nothing other than as one who has been privileged to open the scriptures, most everything you hear and see on the mass media are those who are preying on the vulnerable. I usually don't use personalities, but again, you remember when the scandal hit about the PTL, the ministry of Jim Baker, Tammy Faye, and of course, convicted of his using his position as a religious leader to prey upon the vulnerable, taking everything they could for personal aggrandizement. They were convicted, at least Jim was, served some time and came out, and one of the spiritual leaders of our day came alongside and tried to encourage and be a source of strength to him. He wrote a book. The book was entitled, I Was Wrong. It's been several years since that book was written. I'm waiting for the sequel. I am still wrong. His ministry on television is one of preying on the vulnerable. He is one of many. What comes out of the mouth, if it is immediately attached to money, beware. It has always been that way. It continues to be that way. A pretense of prayer. Pray that God will bless you as you give to this ministry. Unfortunately, that is a pretext. Be very, very careful. Trust the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit to guide you, to keep away from any ministry that preys on the vulnerable. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, that swallow up. You take it down and enjoy the savor of it. The widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive a greater judgment and condemnation. Woe to the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. They search out, they seek by not leaving any stone unturned to find people that will follow their ministry. We live in a very high-tech age. And any time you allow yourself to be identified by these ministries, they're going to go after you tenaciously. And they are not going to quit until they make you one that follows what they want you to follow. That ministry that the Lord here is condemning was one of searching out to get followers, that once they followed those leaders, there was nothing at the end but devastation. Any wrong doctrine, teaching other than the simplicity of salvation in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any teaching that would add to His finished work and simple faith in Him. Any ministry that would add, salvation needs to have with it some kind of sign or wonder. Gifts of the Spirit. Those ministries are not of God. Any ministry that is in direct violation of the Word of God, that is putting forth teaching that is not focusing attention on who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done, is not of God. We have the ministries, prolific ministries on television that are ministries to help you feel good. A ministry that appeals to you doing, 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 rather than trusting, trusting. For once we have legitimately trusted, then the works that are produced are to the glory of God. But people are being led to believe that somehow by following these, many of them, tens of thousands of followers in their congregations and hundreds of thousands over the airwaves, being led away from the person and work of Jesus Christ to follow a man and his ministry. Any ministry, you won't necessarily like this, that clearly is in contradiction to the Word of God, is not one that you should be listening to. Women, here is the pronouncement. Let not a woman open the Word of God. I know the next part of it says that they are to not usurp authority over a man. The pronouncement begins with, it is not for a woman, she is not entrusted with the responsibility of opening the scriptures. We have many of them. You say, well, you know, if it's just women ministering to women, that's got to be all right. The warning of Paul is that's not the responsibility of the woman. The spiritual leadership and the spiritual means for God to communicate His truth has been entrusted to men. That's pretty narrow this day and age. But it is a clear misunderstanding of the Scripture. Be very careful. Be discerning as you rely upon the Spirit of God as to who you listen to, who you follow, who you support. Now, I know in our ministry here, you're all saying, well, we're right on target. You check out everything you hear from me and anyone else as to whether it meets the criteria, thus saith the Lord. Judgments. Judgments. Woe unto you that compass sea and land and make proselytes followers. And when you've done that, you've made them worse off than even yourself. Verse 16. Woe unto you, blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold of the temple that sanctify, or that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. You fools and blind, but whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whosoever shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Swearing wrongly. They just don't get it. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Verses we've looked at before. To make an oath. We've looked at making oaths. To in any way say, I will do this. I hold myself accountable. Not recognize that when you do that, you must make yourself accountable and you are only accountable to God. And be very careful, therefore, the scriptures tell us, what you would swear you would do. Because we have no ability to do anything that God has not empowered us to do and will provide the ability to do. Don't think that somehow we can do anything to please God in and of ourselves. They just didn't get it right. And they're following those that were wrong in this. And that's what Jesus is emphasizing here. There's going to be judgment on those because they don't get it right. Verse 12 of Matthew 15. Then came the disciples and said to him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which made my Heavenly Father hath not planted, shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. These religious rulers were emphasizing the traditions rather than the scriptures to be followed. And when Jesus confronted that issue, they were upset. And he's saying, they don't get it, but they're going to get it. They're going to be judged for leading others because they are blind leading blind. Remember John's Gospel? Remember the account of Jesus giving sight to the one who was born blind? John chapter 9. Verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son? Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he, Jesus, was the anointed, the Christ, the promised one, he should be put out of the synagogue. And that didn't mean you just didn't get to church anymore. It meant your whole life was no longer that of a Jew. Therefore, said his parents, he's of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We've got it right. You've got it wrong. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Now, we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They just don't get it. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of Man? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with you now. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. You just don't get it. And judgment will fall on these religious, spiritual leaders, blind leading blind to destruction. Back to Matthew chapter 23. Verse 23, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise or dill and cumin and omit the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faithfulness. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. You're so concerned, again, for doing what you think is important. The tithe of those elements that are part of everyday life, the mint, the dill, the cumin. It looks good. But the issue is, you've forgotten the things that are much more weighty, much more important. True, the law was given to the Jew. And part of that law that they were living under was to tithe. But also, it was a law that pronounced judgment and mercy and the need for faithfulness so that one would not experience judgment but would experience mercy. That's what the whole Levitical system was about. To get men to not perform, but rather to believe and in the performance acknowledge that they were worshiping a God who could bring and justly so judgment on sin. But he says, you're straining at gnats. And you're gulping down, you're swallowing the camel. It's like that expression. People were concerned about making sure the deck chairs were in proper order on the Titanic. It's going down. And you're straining at this little thing here and you're taking in that which is deadly. You blind guides that strain at gnats and swallow a camel. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but wherein are full of extortions and excess. I'm going back to Matthew again. Matthew chapter 15. We looked at latter verses there, verse 12. Let's look at some earlier verses. Verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. There's a straining of the gnat. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. That's a commandment of God. Exodus chapter 20 in our English Bible, verse 12. And he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. Exodus 21, verse 17. Here's some direct commands of God that you're not obeying at all. You're gulping down that like it's nothing. But you're straining at the gnat, the traditions of washing hands. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father, his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. And there's two ways to see this, but the most obvious is, as Mark's gospel, I think, more clearly allows us to see, that what they were doing was saying that a person is free from the obligation of the law if he's providing for his parents out of the goodness of his heart by the gifts that he's given. And in so doing, saying to his parents, you know what, I've given you enough. I've provided for you. I've given. I'm not obligated to keep giving and giving and giving. Also, it's understood here that it could be that basically the Pharisees were teaching it's all right to give at the office. So that way you don't have to give it home. You know what I mean? It's the old idea. I gave at the office. You know, I've given a little, so I'm not obligated to give any more. No. You are under the law to honor your parents, your mother and father. And to not care for them is to let them die. And you Pharisees say, that's really not a big deal. As long as you've given some, you're okay. You're free from, you know, don't take it so literally. Remember, Paul writes to Timothy, and in 2 Timothy, he says this about caring for those who are needy. Remember, the Pharisees were preying on the vulnerable. Paul writes to Timothy, and he sets forth concerning widows and how they need to be cared for, and then if there's widows that have family, of course, they're responsible for them. But then he ends with this shot. Anyone who does not care for his family, he is worse than an infidel. He's worse than an unbeliever. There is responsibility to care. And the Pharisees were saying, you know, you gave at the office. You've given gifts to the kids, to your parents. Let Social Security take care of it. No, but the idea was to write them off. I've done it. I don't have to keep on doing. Oh, yes, you do. I'm going back. Matthew 23. They were so concerned about, and this is where the traditions and Mark places more of an emphasis on, they were more concerned about making sure the plates were clean and the vessels that they were going to be using for, you know, the celebrations, that all of that looked good, when in reality, what they were doing was deadly. Straining at the gnat, swallowing down the camel. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup, the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Verse 27, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Ceremonial self-righteousness will be judged. You're like whited sepulchres, dead, no life. You can't give life because there's no life in you. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye are witnesses unto yourself that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. The DNA proves what you are. You're just like those whom you're saying, oh, we wouldn't have done that. We wouldn't have persecuted or in any way killed the prophets, the men of God that God sent with His message. The whole history of Israel was to reject the prophets. The whole history of Israel was to punish the prophets. The whole history of Israel was to kill the prophets. That's what they wanted to do, and that's what they did. Whited sepulchers. They look good on the outside. Dead man's bones inside. You've shed blood. You've shed the blood of those who have come with the message of truth. Nothing's changed. Now I know that this isn't something that's written in stone, but show me a mega, mega ministry, and I'm going to tell you something. The bigger usually isn't better. That doesn't mean, you know, the smaller has got to be right. But very simply, the history has always been that the true servants of God are persecuted, and those that are whited sepulchers, those that look good on the outside, those that draw people to them and their ministry, are not of God. Don't think it's going to get any better. The shedding of the blood of God's anointed has been consistent. That's why he says, you fill up the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you generation of vipers, you're poisoning the people. Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed from the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barakah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. You're shedding blood. It's been your history. What are they going to do in just a short period of time? Peak. Yeah, Matthew 27. Verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a riot was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Revelation chapter 17 speaks of that great harlot. And in the context of the book of the Revelation, it's speaking about religion. It's speaking about the formal religion that is opposed to the true. And that spiritual harlot is judged. And as that spiritual harlot is judged, the pronouncement is that the judgment falls because of the blood of the saints, because of the blood of Jesus. We have in place, it's been there, it continues to be there, a world religious system that is opposed to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be judged. Right now, it's growing. It's going to grow bigger. You think religion's on the wane? Religion is not on the wane. Religion is bigger and better. Oh, it's dressed up a little differently than what we're used to seeing. There will be, and it is going to take place, a consolidation of all the religions of the world under the beast, under the control of the Antichrist. He's going to take political power, and he's going to take religious power. And it will be vested in one person. And eventually, when all of that power is in his control, he judges the religious power, so that all will worship that which provides for man, the mark of the beast. All of your needs being met in this life. And if you don't worship the beast, your life's over. You will die. Those who will not receive the mark of the beast during the tribulation period will be martyred. That's the blood. That's what's being shed by the religious and political entity under the Antichrist. Things are ready for that. They've been ready for that. We don't need any signs. It's all ready. All we're doing is looking up. We're going to get to the predictions in chapters 24 and 25 starting next week. But here's the preaching of our Lord as it's coming to a close in Matthew's Gospel. And he's pronouncing judgment on religious, spiritual leadership that is not of God. You're serpents. You're vipers. You're shedding the blood of the righteous. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. And they cried, let his blood be on us and on our children. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which were sent. They were sent unto you. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. You've resisted. You've rejected the prophets. I have come now, the promised one, and you're doing the same thing. I've called you unto myself. You've rejected me. I've wanted you to come. I wanted to care for you. I alone can provide for you. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They're going to behold him. Every knee ultimately will bow. Remember, earlier in Matthew's Gospel, we had the coronation of the king. He was coming in, and they were crying, blessed, Hosanna to the one who comes. He says, you're not going to see me until the coming of the king. That was the coronation. That was the percent, but they rejected him. But he's coming. And he's ultimately going to rule and reign. That's the climax of the king. But when he comes, it's too late for those who have rejected. Father, thank you for these moments. Thank you for allowing us, by your mercy and grace, to embrace the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to have his righteousness imputed to us, to have now the privilege of living in a way that will show forth his righteousness to a world that needs him. Father, may we be faithful to do that as we look for his appearing. In Jesus' name, amen.